I don't know. Good morning, everyone. And good morning to everybody who's watching online as well. If you're watching online, write something in the comments so that we know who is with us. I have a ton of announcements, so I apologize in advance, but there's so many Thanksgiving things going on, and a lot of it has to do with food and cakes, all right? So when you leave here, you're probably going to want to go get a cake. So for Thanksgiving, we are collecting money for cakes for the community Thanksgiving that takes place at the venue. Our church has always been in charge of the cake, so if you would like to donate money towards that, you can. Also, at the community Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving, our youth, kids, and families are working from 10 to 12, it's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, to prepare for community Thanksgiving. Some of our missions team is also going later that day, and you're welcome to join them or the youth and kids. The missions team will be going that day at 1 o'clock to cut the cakes that we purchased. Our United Methodist Women bake sale is next Sunday. And guess what that has to do with too? You can bid on cakes. It's exciting, right? So, but there's gonna be brownies, there's all kinds of really good treats at the United Methodist Women bake sale next Sunday. You're also welcome to bake 3 items and bring here, and they'll sell them and bid on them and all that good stuff. What I recommend for the UMW bake sale next week is buy a bunch of stuff and then take it to Thanksgiving and act like you made it, right? That's what we're gonna do. Thank you. So Salvation Army bags are at our entrances. You can fill those up and bring those back to the church. We do those every year and they're an awesome ministry to those in need. This Wednesday, our youth and kids are having Thanksgiving parties. And speaking of cakes and food, Mark Condra has a small group class on Wednesday nights now. And when you go to the small group, you get cheesecake. I know. And they're bidding. Every week that you go to that, they bid, and you might win a cheesecake, a whole cheesecake. So there's a lot of cake stuff going on, like I said. December 4th, our children's Christmas musical is at 3 p.m. It's going to be amazing, as always. On December 11th, we're going to have one service here, a cantata. And December 22nd, this is new news, Pastor Sam. December 22nd, it's a Thursday night at 5:30, we're going to have Christmas in Gadsden, cookies and carols here in the sanctuary. So it's going to be awesome. We'll just come, invite your friends. They're not going to have to listen to me give a sermon or Pastor Sam give a sermon. It's just cookies and carols. It's going to be great. So invite your friends to that. And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Loving God, we are so thankful that we can come together and worship this morning. We pray that you will calm our hearts and our minds and help us focus on you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and worship with us?
See? as we lift our hands, the heavens open, heavens open. So let our lives declare the love our God has spoken over us. And as we lift our hands, the heavens open, heavens open. So let our lives declare the love our God has spoken over us. Give thanks for all you have done, and I will seek your mercy and your love. Your love isn't failing, Lord, I am grateful. Give thanks for all you have done, I won't forget the battles you have won. Your love isn't failing, Lord, I am grateful.
Now I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone, mercy fills the strength, to look upon the one who bled to save me, and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy. Every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear, and in the end we see that it was worth it. And he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the day we join the resurrection, stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations will sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. On that day, we join the resurrection, stand beside the heroes of the faith, with one voice, the chosen generation. generations will sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall reign. So let it be today. We sing the hymn of heaven, angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God, gave his life.
Y'all may be seated. I want to say welcome to you. Pastor Andy did a bunch of the announcements. So thank you, Pastor Andy, for reminding us of cake. Now we all have cake on the brain. So I know, even James has cake on the brain. All right. So before the children go to Children's Church, we're going to take just a moment to honor our veterans. I want to say thank you for those who have served. And we had Veterans Day this last week. We had, I hope some of you got to go to the Veterans Day Parade and some of the events that we had here in town. But we want to take a moment right now to recognize and say thank you to the veterans who in our church family. So I want to ask you, if you served and you are a veteran, will you just stand for a brief moment and let us say thank you? Any of our veterans here today, thank you for your service. And we remember not just our veterans, but we're going to say a special prayer before our kids go to Children's Church. And the prayer is going to be up on the screen, so I want you to pray this along with me. Will you pray this prayer with me, a salute to our veterans? Gracious God, please let every veteran of our nation's armed forces feel truly and appropriately honored by the attention and appreciation of their fellow citizens. Let no one feel forgotten or neglected. Let every man and woman, young and old, feel the deep and enduring gratitude of our nation and its inhabitants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again so much. Our children are going to go to Children's Church. Miss Catherine over here. Y'all have a lot of fun there. We're going to have another prayer time, but before we do, I want to say a word or give Jay an opportunity to say a word about our generosity campaign for 2023. Jay, you want to say something?
One word, right?
Yeah, just one word.
Give.
That's a good one.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, it is that time. You may actually think it's a little bit late in the season for us, and we've been trying to find a very good strategic time to send this out, but it is that time for our annual budget planning session, and you should be getting a letter in the mail sometime, hopefully this week, with those pledge cards. And so just a reminder for you, please turn those pledge cards in. This is a huge, huge, vital, important piece that's going to help our finance committee set the budget for this year. Our theme for this year is strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Again, with some things that the church locally and on an international level has gone through, I think it's a great message of hope. And again, now more than ever, we need your support. And not just financially, but we need your presence. We need your talents. This is a wonderful time to get re-engaged with the church. Again, just as a plea from us, we would love to see more and more start coming back within the walls and continue to get involved so that First Methodist Gadsden can continue to do the wonderful things that it has done for decades past. So.
Thank you, Jay. If that phrase sounds familiar to you, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, it comes from one of my favorite hymns, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Do y'all remember that hymn? You want me to sing it for you? No, I'm just kidding. But we do need strength for today, and we also need to keep in our hearts bright hope for tomorrow. God is always faithful, and that's what Great is Thy Faithfulness is all about. And God appreciates it and loves it when we are faithful. So thank you for your faithfulness. Your prayer requests, you can send to us by email. You can put them in the comment section of your Facebook live stream. You can write them on a prayer card. We will pray for you. Will you pray with me now? Lord, great is your faithfulness, and we're so very grateful. We're grateful for the chance to come together and offer you our praise. We're grateful for the chance to come together and offer you our lives and our service. Whatever gifts and talents that you've given us, we want to use them for you. And God, the resources that we have, the blessings that you have blessed us with, we want to give back, Lord, tithes, offerings to be used to further your kingdom, not so that we get a pat on the back, but to further your kingdom. God, help us to continue to do what you've called us to do, even when the going is hard, even when we're sad or we're uncertain, because God, maybe that's the time that somebody in this community needs us the most. So take what we offer you now and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
it's not much, nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those arms. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those arms. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of those arms.
There we go. We're grateful for our praise band. Sometimes they teach us new songs too. I love that. Luke chapter 21 is our scripture today. That's the gospel lesson for this Sunday. Luke chapter 21 verses 5 through 19. So I invite you to turn over there with me. If you're opening up your Bibles or look up on the screen, I think it's going to be up there. We have Star Trek background today, and I really kind of like that. Did y'all notice that? Yeah. Verses 5 through 19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for those things you see here, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another and will be thrown down." They ask him, "Teacher, when will this be? What will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and by relatives and friends. They will put some of you to death. You'll be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When Tammy and I first got married, we had a tradition that every Saturday we would go out to breakfast at Gibson's Barbecue. We were living in Huntsville at the time. This is the Gibson's Barbecue that's across the parkway from the old Joe Davis Stadium. I don't know if any of you have ever been there. But if you go on Saturday morning, they got a really good breakfast. We went there so often that the waitress we had every time, she kind of knew us by name and we knew her, and we could just go in and say, Anna, we'll have our usual kind of thing like that. It was that kind of thing. We looked forward to it, and we would go in and we would, she knew that we wanted to kind of be in seated in the area over there. See, there's an area over here where all the parents with little kids and crying babies and high chairs and throwing biscuits on the floor. There's that section. And then there's a section away from that for people that didn't have kids like us, you know. And so we would go, you know, Anna, seat us over there. And she would seat us over there because at that time we didn't think we were ever going to have any kids. And I got to thinking about, what if during that time someone in a white robe came up to our table and said, I have a word of prophecy for you. The day will come when you will be seated over in the corner with the crying babies in the high chairs. We would have probably just laughed and said, oh, man, that's never going to happen. That was totally unbelievable. But then came the day when I had this terrible sinus crud. I was teaching at Grissom High School, and it was the winter time, and it was a cold day, kind of like today. And I was at school, and I knew this stuff was coming on because I could feel the pressure right there. Did any of y'all ever get the sinus crud in the winter time? I could feel the pressure. And I was trying to take over-the-counter stuff, and I was stubborn, and I knew I needed to go to the doctor, but you know how sometimes men be stubborn. And so I was putting it off, and finally I was at school, and I thought, I can't put it off anymore. So I called my doctor from school on my planning period, and I said, can you see me right after school? I mean, right as soon as the bell rings. They said, yes, we'll work you in. So I left as soon as the bell rang at 3:10, and I drove straight to Dr. Rao's office. And I walked in and walked up to the table where they have the little clipboard where you sign in. Y'all know what? Are y'all with me this morning? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so I signed in, and I noticed up the sign-in sheet for a little bit was Tammy's name. And I thought, phew, I didn't know she was coming to the doctor today. So I was going to sit down, but I thought, you know, I better go to the restroom first. And I said to the nurse there, can I use your restroom? Yes, sir. It's right down the hall on your left. So I'm pulling on the door to open up the restroom, and someone in the restroom is pulling on the other side like this. Out, oh no. And pull it open, and here I am face to face with Tammy. And she said, what are you doing here? I didn't know you were coming to the doctor today. And I said, what are you doing here? I didn't know you were coming to the doctor today. And so the nurse comes down the hall. She says, oh, well, you're both here. Well, since you're both here, you just go. Y'all go in the same little exam room. And so we're going in there like, what the heck? And the doctor comes in, and he always did this. Dr. Rao, wherever you are, why did you do this to me? he would like mash really hard on my sinuses and say, "Does that hurt?" And I'm like, "Yeah, can you tell by the way I jumped off the table that it, yes." And so he looked in your ears, up your nose, all that stuff. He goes out of the room and he comes back in a few minutes with the diagnosis. I got the diagnosis of a sinus infection. Tammy got the diagnosis of a baby. And all of a sudden, my priorities of my aching sinuses got moved way down the list of priorities. It just turned my world upside down. I thought, there's just no way. It was just a defining moment, really. So for the next 9 months, I found myself constantly just thinking and rethinking about what my future was going to be, praying and then praying some more and then dreaming and planning, and but mostly adjusting my priorities of what I thought was most important in life and to order that in such a way that what really was the most important thing in life really was the main thing right there. And so we kept saying over those 9 months, and people would give us advice, you know, and we would say over the 9 months, the time will come, the time will come, time will come when this baby's going to get here. And then came the night we were watching Monday Night Football. It was on October the 5th, 1998, and the Green Bay Packers were playing the Minnesota Vikings, and it was a good game. I'm a Packers fan anyway, and I was into the game, you know, and Tammy was into the labor, and I didn't know it, you know, really, she wasn't complaining like I would have been. And eventually in the middle of the game, she says, "Honey, the time has come." And I'm like, "What? What?" You know? And so all the way to the hospital, she kept saying, "Honey, slow down. Honey, slow down. I'm not going to have this baby in the car. Honey, slow down. You're going to kill us." You know? But 4:32 in the morning on October the 6th, the time came. And I got to hold that little girl in my arms, Emily Kate, and everything changed, right? 24 years later, every day gives me a brand new challenge about what it means to be a parent, and there's constant reordering of what my priorities are, what my goals are, what my dreams are, every single day. Because 24 years later, we have three of those little babies, and always changing and adjusting priorities, seasons and life changes and changes in families, changes in location, moving all over creation. Life is full of changes. Isn't that the truth? Can I get an amen? Life is full of changes. The time will come when there'll be even more changes. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell his disciples that day. He was trying to teach his disciples, hey, the time will come when even things that you thought weren't going to change are going to change. But more importantly, the time has come right now, right this minute, for you to get your priorities where they ought to be. They were walking, gazing at the temple in Jerusalem, this magnificent, beautiful temple. Some of the disciples were just remarking to themselves, it was truly wondrous. It's something to see, a wonder to behold. It was the heart and soul of the Jewish people, and it was a symbol to them in Jerusalem at that time that God was enthroned in Jerusalem. That's where God lived. It was built to last forever with huge marble pillars and columns that were 40 feet high, and each of them were made from a single block of stone and gold ornaments, and it was covered with so much gold that when the sun would reflect off of it, as the sun would come up, you had to look away because it would just hurt your eyes. From a distance, the white marble, as you're coming into Jerusalem, it looked like a mountain covered with snow. It was truly a wonder to behold, and they were so, so proud of it. And then Jesus said this. There, as they were gazing up at that gold, ornate, wonderful, beautiful reminder that God was forever throned into, Jesus said, the time will come when what you see here will no longer be standing. One stone's not going to be standing on top of another. Everything will be thrown down. There are just things in life that they thought were never going to change. That was one of them. There are things in life that we, growing up, thought would never change. I mean, just beyond just buildings and structures, just think about when you were a kid, you thought your grandparents were always going to be here, right? They're always going to be here. And then you think your parents are always going to be here. And then you think they're never going to get old, but they do. You think your children are always going to be little, but they're not. And then sometimes you blink your eyes and things change. A tornado rips through and a bad diagnosis comes along, or 9/11 happens, or something catastrophic, and things that you never thought would change, all of a sudden it changed. It just kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies to think about it. The disciples ask the questions that we want to ask when we think about things like that. When, Lord, when is this going to happen? When will these things come to pass? When will these signs happen? And Jesus gave them the answer they needed, not the answer they wanted. He didn't go into when. Instead, he went into what they really needed to hear, was how. How are you going to live in the meantime? If things are going to get tough for you, and they would, they would be persecuted. You think you're always going to have peace in Jerusalem? Well, you're not. There's going to be wars and revolutions. You think you're always going to have the system of justice? Well, you're not, because you're sometimes going to get taken out of synagogues and delivered to prison. You think your family's going to always stand by your side? Well, they're not, because they're going to be afraid of Nero. They're going to be afraid of Domitian, these Roman emperors. They're going to sell you out because they're afraid for their own lives. You think you can't avoid death? Well, you can't. You won't. So the question is not when, but how. In the face of all of the changes in our lives, how do we live? It's not about how the time will come, but how the time has come. Knowing that the changes are going to come, how do we navigate them? Knowing that the changes are going to come, how do we handle it? Knowing that there will be false teachers, how do we discern? How do we handle even injustice? What do we do? So Jesus said a couple of things to them that are going to help us. The time has come for us to set our priorities straight now, not later. To decide for ourselves what is really important, to put eternal value, eternal price tags on the things that are actually eternal. And Jesus said to them, this is how you're going to live your life in a constantly changing world. You're going to be my witnesses. Whatever you go through, good times, bad times, persecution, injustice, betrayal, you're going to be my witnesses. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you words to say. you're going to be my witnesses, and I'm always going to be with you. See, the things that you think are never going to pass away, they're going to change, right? We are worshiping right now in one of the most beautiful worship settings everybody loves. But what if we said, you know, this is always going to be this way. It's never going to change. Sheila, have you got a picture of that diorama that you could put there? I can't tell. Anyway, we have a diorama, this model thing under glass in the hallway out here. Have y'all ever seen it? And it shows kind of the history of our church from 175 years ago when a little group started meeting and having Sunday school, and then eventually they had a little log cabin, and eventually, you know. But what if along the way they had this log cabin and they said, man, this log cabin is great. Solid as a rock, man. Solid. It's always going to be like this. And then, but it wasn't. And then later on, eventually they got a brick structure, right? Brick, man. Brick. It was so strong that the big bad wolf couldn't blow it down. Oh, look at our little brick church here. It's going to be this way forever. But you can see that diorama. You can see the progress over the time. This building that we're sitting in like this wasn't always like this. And just like the beautiful temple in Jerusalem, it always won't be like this. So how are we going to live in the meantime? You know, this passage that we read is really kind of difficult. It's about them, and it's about us. It's about that day, and it's about the day of the Lord. It's about the coming destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem in 70 AD, something that was going to happen in their lifetime. And then it was also about the second coming of the Lord and all of that. How do we live is the right question. Not when, not even why, but how. How am I going to live my life? Am I going to live my life like my job is the most important thing and that's never going to change? Am I going to live my life as if my possessions were more important than people around me? Am I going to live my life acting as though being Christian means coming here once a week and just sitting in this building? Am I going to act like everything is going to last forever, that I can take it for granted? We can't take it for granted. We can't take the people in our lives for granted. We can't take anything for granted. The only thing that will never change is the presence of God and the love of God. So I guess where I want to end today is that change always happens. Even to the things that we think will last forever, change always happens. So the best we can do is to focus our priorities on the only thing that lasts forever. And that's God's love for us, God's presence with us. The time will come when Jesus will come back for us. But the time has come now. Right now. We don't have to wait for a birth or a death or a natural disaster to remind us that the time has come. It could be as simple as an ordinary Sunday morning when God's Spirit speaks to us through His Word in a special way and we're reminded, put first things first. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we want to try to predict what only you know. People over the decades have tried to predict when the second coming was going to be, when these apocalyptic things were going to happen. And over and over and over again, they get it wrong because your word says that no one knows the day or the hour. So we trust you with our right now. And I know that some of us are going through struggles, and some of us are worried about our friends, and some of us are worried about the future of the church and the future of our country and all kinds of things. But right here and right now, the time has come when we can recommit ourselves to you, recommit ourselves to keeping our priorities where they need to be. So, Lord, let this be our defining moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand and sing our next worship song, I want to remind you that you can come and pray at this altar. It's one of the most beautiful things that we do, is to pray together. If you have something on your heart you want to pray about this morning, then I want you to come and pray about it. If you have a commitment you need to make to God, then I want you to come and pray about that. If you have something that you want somebody to pray with you for, just grab them by the hand and bring them with you. But let's do as God leads us as we stand and worship together.
The Lord bless you. His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.